Colossians 2, chapter 2, verse number 6. And before I get to the message this evening, first of all, I want to say thank you to Pastor for this opportunity, and also a big thank you to the church, just with my moving here, me joining the church this morning. I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you who've been a blessing and encouragement to me while I'm here. And as I stay here, I just want to say thank you so much. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6. And just to give you some background, me, Brother Jonathan, and Brother Josiah, we've been praying about what we will preach on, kind of like a theme for these next 2 months. And as me and Brother Jonathan were in the conference room, we looked at the church theme and the theme and the idea of what the pastor had for this year, holding forth the word of God. And also, we continued to read, and it showed that to help people be self-growing and to live the Christian life. And we picked this verse to be kind of our theme for this year, Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6. The Bible says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." So the next several weeks, me, Brother Josiah, Brother Jonathan, we will be kind of leaping out of this passage and preaching messages on specific things and areas that we should be rooted and built up in Christ. As I say that, I'm going to ask if you would turn to our text this evening, 2 Kings chapter number 5. 2 Kings chapter number 5. 2 Kings chapter number 5. And we are going to look at one passage of scripture. And one of the reasons why I'm excited about these next 2 months is a lot of the messages that we will be preaching will be based on narratives, Bible stories. And I'm excited to have the kids here as well. We're going to have fun. We have candy, some illustrations, object lessons. So it's going to be a fun night for the entire family. 2 Kings chapter 5, and look what it says in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper." Let's go ahead and bow our head, close our eyes, and let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity we have to gather this evening. And as we open your word, I pray that you would use me, dear God. I pray that you would just remove me out of the way. Allow me to only say what you would have me to say. And I pray that you would just give us something from your word this evening. Thank you so much for all you've done and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. In order to be rooted in Christ and to be established in the faith, as Paul said, we must first have Christ living inside of us. Paul understood this concept as he says in Colossians chapter 2, what we just read, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord. You see, before he even talked about being rooted up in the faith, before he started talking about being established in the faith, Paul says, first of all, you must have received Christ Jesus. You must have Jesus Christ living inside of you before we begin to build, before we begin to grow in Jesus Christ. And this evening, we are going to learn about a great man, a man who had everything, you might say. He had power, he had position, he had servants. I'm sure he had a lot of wealth. He had everything, we might say. But he had a problem. Look what it says in verse number 1. He was a leper. You see, as we study this passage, we are going to notice a man who was very great, but he had a serious disease. As many of you guys probably know, I am from Nigeria, West Africa. And there is this disease that's very deadly and fatal called malaria. And left untreated, it is very dangerous to adults and children alike. It is not contagious. One person cannot spread it to another person. But it can be spread by mosquitoes. And if left untreated, it can be very deadly. You see, even though malaria is a deadly disease, it is not as deadly as this leprosy was. You see, leprosy wasn't just a disease that you would take medicine for. You know, if you have a cough or a cold, you would take medicine. But you see, leprosy changed everything about someone's life. You see, even though Naaman was a great man with power and position, this problem of leprosy affected his entire life. This evening, we are going to look at this narrative, at this story, and we are going to notice, first of all, the problem of leprosy. Secondly, the solution for leprosy. And then finally, the deliverance from leprosy. But first of all, let's look at the problem of leprosy. As we read in verse number 1, he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. You see, leprosy was a disease which affected your skin, your nerves, and would cause numbness and commonly cripple many people in the Bible. If you have leprosy, there were some special steps that you had to take. And to help me with illustrating leprosy, I'm going to ask Forrest to come up and help me with this illustration. Forrest, come on up. Okay, Forrest, how are you doing tonight?
Good.
Good? Okay. Yep. I'm going to just put this right there. Hopefully the tape will stick. Okay, Forrest, can you tell everyone what your sign says? Sorry. So it says...
Leprosy, it's, sin.
He got it. What does it say?
Leprosy and sin.
Okay, his sign says... leprosy, sin. So you see, this disease called leprosy, it was a devastating disease. If you had leprosy, you had to be separated from everyone else. Okay, so Forrest, I'm going to have you stand here. And every time I come near you or walk towards you, what are you supposed to yell?
Unclean.
Okay, you didn't sound very convinced that you were
unclean.
There we go, there we go. You can shout it. You are unclean. So, and we'll get to this part right here, how it represents sin in a second. But you see, if you had leprosy, you had to be separated from everyone else. I'm sure Naaman couldn't be in the same house as his family. He couldn't eat at the same table with other people. In the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45, the Bible says, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, 'Unclean, unclean!' All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean, he shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be." You see, leprosy did not just affect their bodies. Even though it was very visible, he had to be separated from the camp, put away from other people. You see, this was a huge problem in Naaman's life. You see, as I mentioned, Naaman was a very wealthy man, but all the money in the world couldn't solve this problem of leprosy. It did not matter how big his house was. It did not matter how many servants he had. This disease called leprosy affected everything that he had. The question I have to you this evening is, did you know that there was a disease that each and every one of us have as well? This disease is something that we have had ever since we were born. There was nothing that we can do on our own to cure this disease. I'm sure Naaman went to doctors. I'm sure he went to people to give him advice on what to do. And every answer was, there is no cure. But this disease that affects our lives, the way we live, this disease is called, kids in here, who can help me? What is this disease called? Yes.
Sin.
Sin. Thank you. You weren't cheating. You weren't looking at that, were you? Okay, it is called sin. You see, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You see, growing up, this was the way that teachers taught me what sin was. So I'm going to teach you guys the definition of sin. Sin is anything that we do, say, or think that breaks God's law. Okay, I want all the kids and adults who can join in. We're going to do it together. Okay, sin is anything that we do, say, or think that breaks God's law. Okay, we're going to try that one more time. You guys need to convince me that that's what sin is. Okay, here we go. Sin is anything that we do, say, or think that breaks God's law. You see, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We are all sinners. The Bible also says... Oh, sorry. Okay, there we go. There we go. I'll stay away. Romans 5:12 also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." You see, Adam's sin passed down to all of us, and we are all sinners. This is the disease and the problem that we have. There was nothing that Naaman could do for his leprosy, and there was nothing that we personally can do for our sins. The Bible says in Isaiah 64:6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Now, what was Naaman going to do? He couldn't do anything on his own to cure this disease. And what are we to do about our sins? But praise the Lord, there's not just the problem of sin, but we are going to see that someone gives Naaman a solution for his leprosy. And we are also going to see the solution that we have for our sins. Look what it says in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse number 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." You see, we see this maid that worked in Naaman's house that probably saw Naaman as he was outside as a leper, as she was maybe sweeping the house, as she was maybe making up the bed. She probably saw Naaman, maybe he's groaning and is crying. But we see that this maid told Naaman that, "Boy, if you were just in Israel where I came from, there was a prophet, Elisha, that could heal his leprosy." So as we continue reading, we see that maybe Naaman was just like, "Oh man, what is this? What should I do? Tell me what I should..." Okay, there we go. Thank you for telling me. Okay. A little louder next time. I got too close to you. A little louder next time. But you're doing great. You're doing great for us. But there was a solution for Naaman's problem. Look what it says in verse number 10. The Bible says, "And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." You see, the solution was for him to take action. He was told to go and dip himself 7 times in the Jordan River. That was the solution the prophet Elisha told him. Now, kids, do you think that Naaman heard this news and he ran to the Jordan River? Do you think? What are you? Okay, I need hands. Yes, Tessa. Yeah. He didn't? Okay. Okay, let's see what happens. Verse number 11. But Naaman was wroth. Wroth meaning he was upset. And went away. And said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." Now, maybe you or me, we would have thought, "Oh man, I get to go to the Jordan River, just have to dip myself 7 times, then I'll be healed." That's not what Naaman did. He was upset. He went back home. In verse number 12, he talks about how Arnon, Abana, and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel. May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Naaman was upset because the answer to his problem was not what he wanted to hear. Now, question, kids. How many of you have had a problem and you went to your parents and they gave you an answer that you did not want to do it? Okay. Yes. You did not want to do it. There was one time. Now, I am a sports fan. I was playing baseball with a friend of mine, and I was the catcher. Now, the catcher is the one who stands behind the plate and catches the ball from the pitcher. So my friend, I was the catcher. There was a friend of mine that was about to swing the bat, and he swung the bat. Unfortunately, I stood too close to him, and he swung that bat and hit me straight in the forehead. Now, I was crying. I was upset. I ran over to my parents. Well, my parents. Okay. There we go. Yeah. Ran over to where my parents were at, and I said, "Mom, Dad, this buffoon. He just swung that bat and he hit me with it. Oh, I'm not going to talk to him ever again." And you know what my parents told me I should do? Kids, what do you think my parents told me to do? What was that? I can't hear you. Yes. Forgive him. I thought, as soon as they said forgive him, I thought, "Oh, Mom, you didn't hear what he just did to me, okay? He had a bat, okay? Not a noodle bat or something like that. This was an actual bat, an aluminum bat. Like, he swung and it hit me in the forehead." You know, my mom and dad told me that I should forgive him, but I didn't want to do that. I wanted to get even. I was supposed to forgive him, but I did not want to. You see, I had a problem, and when my parents told me what I should do, I didn't want to do it. I was upset. Naaman was the same way. He thought that maybe the rivers back at home, the rivers that maybe were more convenient for him, that he could go back and wash in maybe the cleaner waters that he thought. But you see, even if he dipped himself in his own rivers back home, maybe behind his house, that was not complete obedience. That was half obedience, which is still disobedience. And his servants came to him and told him, "You know what, Naaman? You still have leprosy. I thought you wanted to get healed." And they convinced him that, you know what, just do what the prophet says. Look what it says in verse number 13. "And the servants came near and spake unto him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean.'" The servants told him, "Just do what the prophet says." You see, we learned that leprosy represents sin. And there was a problem that we all have. But there was a solution for our sin. Because God is a holy God, he cannot allow sin into heaven. And there was nothing that we can do for our sins. We read that in Isaiah 64, verse 6. But God provided us with a solution. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Because of our sins, we deserve eternal separation from God. But look what the rest of the verse says. "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." God loved you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins so that God can take care of our disease called sin. There was nothing that I can do. There was nothing that any of us can do for our own sins. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." God has already paid for the sacrifice by dying on the cross. We sang that on the song just a few minutes ago. And when he said, "It is finished," the price of our salvation had been paid. It's not by going to church. It's not by being a good person. It's not by going to Sunday school. It's not by putting tithes in the offering. It's not by anything good that we can do that can take care of our disease called sin. And the question is, what will? We've seen the problem of leprosy. It's a sin problem. The solution for leprosy, God has already paid for that free gift of salvation. And now as we close, let's look at the deliverance from leprosy. Look what it says in verse number 14. "Then went he down, he obeyed, and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." Once Naaman realized that there was nothing else that he could do, he really wanted to be healed. He obeyed, and he went to the Jordan River. He was healed, he obeyed, and he did what Elisha told him to do. See, in order to be clean and healed from the disease named sin. And Brother Crispin messed up my illustration right here with the candy, but it's all good. You see, in order for God to take care of the disease called sin, you have to accept Jesus.
There you go.
You have to accept Jesus. You see, salvation from sin is only through Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 3:7, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must," it's not an option, it's not a choice, "we must be saved." Do not try to solve the problem of sin on your own. Let the blood of Jesus take care for your sin. Have you allowed Jesus to take away your disease called sin? If you have, God has given us a command to tell others. Now you may say, "Okay, I understand that I can do nothing for my disease called sin. I understand that. How can I accept Jesus into my heart so he can take care of my disease called sin?" Forrest, you can have a seat. And at this time, I'm going to ask, yes, I'll take it. Okay, go ahead. I'll take it, yeah. And I'm going to ask Tyler to come up. And I was with Tyler's Sunday school this morning. And he shared with me the ABCs of salvation. So I thought, that is such a great idea. As I close, can you share it with the congregation? So I got this to help you. And brother, you take it away. Okay. I'm going to hold this for you.
So A means admit to God that you are a sinner. B, believe on Christ Jesus, and C, call upon him to save you.
All awesome. That's it. Great job, Tyler. Thank you, Tyler. You can take it down. Thank you. You can take it with you. Okay. One thing I learned in Sunday school this morning, being down with there with the kids, even kids can easily go to school, to their neighbors, to their friends, and tell them about Jesus, about how those sinners, and that only Jesus can take away their sin. As we continue this series, we are going to learn that we need to be deeply rooted in many things. But you cannot be deeply rooted in Christ if we do not have Christ living inside you. It's going to be extremely funny and silly if you think you can grow a plant without putting in a seed. You must put in the seed first. And if we are going to grow and be rooted in Christ these next few months, make the decision, if you haven't made it tonight, to accept that free gift of salvation so that Jesus can take care of your disease called sin. God is offering his gift. The question is, will you accept this free gift of salvation? Everyone bow your head, close your eyes. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to open your word. And thank you so much for your free gift of salvation. I pray that if there's anyone here who has not made that decision, to make that tonight. Just as Pastor said this morning, Satan has tried to make counterfeits of so many things, and he will try to counterfeit what salvation is. He will try to convince all of us that if we just are a good person, if we obey, then that takes care of our sin. But the Bible says otherwise. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that if there's anyone here who has not made that decision, that they will make that decision tonight.
Out, eyes closed, as Mrs. Mix begins to play. If you'd like to talk to somebody, if you'd like to know Christ is your Savior, as Mrs. Mix begins to play a song, I'm here. The young men are here. We'll pray with you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, children, do you understand? It's only Christ that saves. Only Christ.
Strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my
all. Maybe tonight, parents, you're carrying a burden. You need someone to pray with you. I'm here. Health crisis, finances,
Lamb
relationship. I'm
God,
here. Won't you come?
Worthy is your name, Jesus, Lamb of God. Worthy is your name.
Keep playing.
Taking my sin, my cross, my shame.
The greatest decision I ever made was to trust the Lord as my Savior.
You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up.
Can you remember a time when you realized you were a sinner?
Fill my cup.
You needed
a
Savior.
All in all.
Bless now as we fellowship tonight. Thank you for the message and the messenger. Thank you, Father, for the participation of the children. Help us, Father, as your people to know why we believe what we believe and to have it so ingrained in our heart we can share it with others. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May look this way.